Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres begin their first road series of the season out in Colorado, and our host Mike Janella hopes they do something like score.
One of the powers you have not yet managed.
Also in studio, we've got Mike Grace, who's so excited to be here for the first time this season, he can hardly sit still.
I find myself really getting the hands gesticulating all over the place.
And rounding out the crew, it's our Scan Sandwich, Bob Scanlon.
I'm a scan sandwich right now between two guys that are disagreeing with me. It's okay.
I love this scan sandwich.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the Western Metal Supply Company building, it's Padre Social Hour with your hosts, Mike Janella, Mike Grace, and Bob Scanlon.
Good morning, Padre Social Hour, our first morning show of the season. We have another scan sandwich for you. We're here at Petco Park, which is empty today. But you know where it's not empty? Coors Field. That's where the Padres are as they get ready to take on the Colorado Rockies at 1:10. And for those of you joining us on video, we have a new camera out at Coors Field.
Wait, that's not tape?
That's not tape. We're an actual professional show, it seems like. Somehow Blooper was able to get some video coming in from Denver. How about that? Round of applause for Blooper getting something done. We're here in the AMR studio.
I did something.
He did something, and it was a good something, too. With mics on the bookends, this is an extra super
Mike,
scan sandwich.
Good to have
sandwich.
You on board, man.
Thanks, man. The scanwich.
Yeah,
it's gotta great. Love it. I got mics on both sides.
Yeah, it's great. And this being our first morning show of the season, me being the new guy, I wanted to make a good first impression on you guys, so I brought some donuts.
Oh, now you're talking.
Which
I figured, you're singing my song
right here.
Which I
figured was also appropriate for all the Mike, donuts the Padres offense has been putting on the scoreboard the first couple games.
Don't tell me you're not digging in right now.
That seems like a break activity.
Oh, no, this is not a break
activity.
You're
going to go for it?
Absolutely. This is the morning, right?
All right,
gotta
here we go.
Nice
we
donuts,
got some donuts.
Get things started off.
All right, so I guess I'll start with you, Mike, with what we're talking with today. While Scan is able to digest this. We don't have any milk on set. Yeah, he's diving right into his donut.
That away, Scan.
It's been donuts on the scoreboard for the Padres. These are much easier to find than goose eggs, believe it or not, which is why I went for the donuts. But, I mean, Mike, because Bob, you were on the show a couple days ago. We kind of got your reaction after game two when it was still only 18 shutout innings for the Padres offense. Mike, you've been a fan of this team your whole life. I mean, what's the barometer like, the temperature like for you?
I mean, I think I'm just more surprised because I didn't think this team was going to have trouble scoring runs. And, I mean, again, the whole small sample size, everything that goes along with that. But you looked at this team in spring, and they scored runs. We were worried about the pitching, and, you know, maybe that's come to fruition a little bit as well. But, you know, 2 years ago, this team literally just could not score runs. The pitching was fantastic. So we've seen Padre teams that couldn't score runs. I'm not incredibly worried long term. I still think there's a lot of talent on the offensive side, and they'll come around on some level. Hopefully Coors is what gets you there, but I'm just surprised. I thought they were going to come out and swing the bats. They swung the bats so well. I mean, the Mexico City game, I mean, it is at altitude, but I mean, they put up some big numbers in some of these exhibition games. It just really didn't translate on any level so far.
While you finish chewing and swallowing your part of your donut scan, a reminder to join the conversation. Let us know your thoughts as you watch today. Use hashtag PadresSH and also join the conversation at Padres.com/social hour with moderator Becky. And now Mike Grace is diving into his donut.
You brought donuts. You didn't bring a napkin, but I came prepared.
Scan brought his own towel. This is a legitimate shower towel.
Crew, right?
No messing around with Scan.
Yeah.
No,
see, it's
not
big enough that we got a corner for everybody right here.
So
you here we go.
Drape it across
yeah.
us here.
Okay, there you go. Perfect. See, we're covered,
so, well,
man.
This is something else.
You got to come prepared. Hey, we're professional donuts. It's the morning show.
This is the morning show. Yeah, things are going off the rails quickly. We'll preview the series at Colorado, but let's first, after the off day yesterday, we talked a lot about both the lack of offense, but also the trouble with the pitching, Scan. I mean, you don't score on your runs, that's a problem. You give up 25 runs, that's pretty bad, too.
Exactly. And this goes back to last season, Mike, and everybody thought that the pitching was going to be the backbone of this organization, and it really needs to be. And I think there was high expectations again coming into this year with Tyson Ross and James Shields, Andrew Cashner, Colin Ray did a great job for the Padres at the end of last season. We'll see what he can bring today. But so far, the pitching just hasn't been there. As much as everybody's talking about the offense, you're right. A 25-run score, that's not getting the job done. And you know, statistically, you can look at some things and say, okay, there have been a lot of first hits. We talked about that a couple of days ago. That trend has continued. The other thing that's happening, they're not making quality pitches with runners on base, and you've got to be able to get guys out with runners in scoring position. That's the bottom line, and opposing hitters are hitting almost 500 at this point with runners in scoring position,
which is terrible.
It's terrible
for the Padres,
exactly. So it comes down to executing your game plan. I know the work that Darren Balsley puts in, Doug Bockler working with those guys in the bullpen. I know that they've got great game plans and how to approach it. They have to start executing. And at this point, everybody starts trying to press, right?
I think that's the biggest thing. Everybody's pressing on every level. I think the biggest thing is to get a lead. I mean, they've got to get a lead at some point early in this game. Let everybody release. But going back to the pitching scan, and something that, you know, I've heard Randy talk about, Kurt Bavakwa, is pitching inside. And if I remember right, Andy kind of addressed this, and I still don't feel like they're doing that, pitching inside, establishing that side of the plate. Is that something that this team, or is anybody even doing that anymore?
No, we've seen one inside pitch so far this last series, and it was after Andrew Cashner had given up four runs. The next time Chase Utley came up to the plate, you right remember, there was one pitch where he actually had to bend out of the way, and I was, yes,
Matt,
that's
you ask
what
any fan of this team, that came a day and a half too late.
Absolutely, but that's been one of the things I talked about actually in the pitching series before the Dodgers series, was the fact that they need to be able to pitch inside more, and it's not just pitching inside for strikes. You need to be able to pitch in off the plate. Look, I am not advocating being a headhunter. Nobody is, but you have to make batters uncomfortable in there. You have to be able to move their feet a little bit. And I go back, people like, well, what about Greg Maddux? I go back to Greg Maddux's numbers. He had at least six hit batsmen every single season. In fact, one year he led all of Major League Baseball in hit batsmen. The other guy that led, Randy Johnson. So it doesn't matter whether you're a hard thrower or you're a Picasso like Greg Maddux, you have to be able to establish the inside part of the plate to give yourself some breathing room away, and I think the Padres can do a better job of that.
And yesterday's show, we had Bill Senner and Chris Ello on, and they both advocated for maybe coming into Colorado and making an early statement, whether, Chris, I think, wanted a bit more buzzing the tower on somebody, maybe Trevor Story. Bill thought maybe just throw a fastball at someone's feet, bounce it in front of, 59-footer, get them shuffling a little bit, maybe as a catalyst. Do you guys feel that's something that can get the team going?
I don't think so. I mean, I think this is more of a philosophical, and what Bob was saying, you're going to get more on the outside part of the plate if you can work inside. Get it in the hitter's head that they've got to cover both sides of the plate. So I don't think – look, I'm not that much for hitting guys and all the retaliation that goes along with that, especially a team you haven't faced yet this year. I don't think there's any bad blood. I mean, if you need that to get yourself motivated, I don't know if you're in the right place. But I think – just pitching inside in general is something that's just kind of got to change. And it doesn't happen that much in the game in general, I think. Batters are really allowed to crowd the plate. I mean, it's unbelievable. Guys get hit with strikes sometimes, and that frustrates me. I don't think that gets enough analysis, or whatever you want to say. Guys will be literally standing on top of the plate. It might be a high strike, but they're on the plate. They get hit. They get their base.
After an inning and that's happening again today, isn't that maybe something that you might want to do?
Maybe.
Second time around the batting order, get a little buzz maybe inside? I think so.
I'm all for pitching inside. I mean, that's how I made a living in the big leagues. That's how I survived there. When I was coming up through the minor leagues, that was one thing they taught. You have to be able to pitch inside, not just for a strike, but in off the plate as well. In fact, we had a rule when I was coming up in the Phillies organization. When you got two strikes on a guy, especially the first time through the lineup, if one of your pitches did not move his feet, where the hitter actually had to get out of the way of a pitch, you got fined. And they just took money out of your pocket, and you learn how to pitch inside right away. And it's not, again, to be a headhunter. It's to learn how to establish the inside part, because that's got to be my part of the plate, and it's the only way that you're going to survive on the outside corner.
And to your point, too, I don't feel like pitchers have the same two-strike approach. The way I was taught baseball, now mind you, I only played until I was in like ninth grade, but still, the most basic thing was you don't give up a hit 0-2 or 1-2. As a pitcher, you are completely in command. There's no way you should give a hitter a ball to hit. Now, you're going to make mistakes, but shouldn't your mistakes be not near the strike zone, further away from the strike zone?
That's a great point, and it depends. And I was brought up with that same mantra as well. And again, going back to Greg Maddux, he was one of the guys that taught me, well, it depends. You don't have to always be wasting that pitch with two strikes. Look, if you got the guy set up and you made two quality pitches to get to 0-2, put him away on that third pitch. Why waste a dump pitch? Exactly.
Right.
So it depends. But there are certainly situations where, hey, you're not going to throw a cookie in there, no question about it.
Don't you love that? Oh, as Greg Maddux taught me. It's like, what a name drop.
I'm not trying to name drop. I just go back to the guy that I learned so much. I do it out of respect, not as a bragging thing. But when you're with somebody that's made such an impact on your career, and I had the good fortune of being around players like that coming up, I try to take those lessons and share them with others.
No. And so we will see if those are some lessons maybe these pitchers for the Padres are taking into some account themselves at Coors Field. We'll start previewing more of what's looking ahead. Let that series that's now past stay in the past. But one last thing we want to put a bow on is that we discussed this yesterday. Blooper, his amazing reaction to a Jabari Blash flyout to left field, which he thought was a home run that was going to end the Padres' scoreless streak. Somehow, Blooper ended up about two rows behind home plate, and he was the only person in the crowd. He leapt out of his seat, both arms in the air. Not a single person else around him reacted even one iota of what he did. And we told you we'd make it a GIF. We deliver on that promise. So if you hit up my Twitter handle, at Mike Janella, it's pinned right there at the top. Use Blooper Celebrating for all of your GIF needs in the future. We like to give the people what they want.
That was awesome.
Hey, I'll be honest, Bloop, he got me too. I thought he got it.
I was so excited.
I mean, we were so in dire need of something really positive.
And the Spangenberg replay, the ire over that, yeah. You could just tell how desperate people were for any kind of a score, which is not a good thing when you're in that situation, but it was
It became a
long
topic
overdue.
In a game that was right. Not a close game, right? Every out counts at this point, so.
Well, hopefully for the Padres, that story changes. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but also some moves the Padres made, which we'll get to in our next segment. First, though, a reminder, Major League Baseball All-Star Week is coming to San Diego this July 8th through the 12th. Register now for the chance to purchase tickets at allstargame.com. Registration ends April 20th. A couple roster moves for the Padres, one arm, one bat. We'll talk about them when we come back on Padres Social Hour.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
We're back on this Friday morning, TGIF. Padres are back in action on Padres Social Hour. We're here in the AMR studio in the Western Metal Building. Padres on the road for game one of a seven-game road trip after that, let's forget about her, three-game opening series against the Dodgers, taking on the Rockies today at 1:10. We'll talk about that series in a little bit, but first we'll get to a couple of roster moves for the Padres. But first, we did have one of our friends on Twitter come to Blooper's defense on his faux excitement. Oh my gosh, give my boy Blooper a break, says Joe Costanzo. I'm with you, buddy. Hang in there. But Gracie, you said you were with him too.
I thought he got it.
You thought that was it on that Jabari Blash home run that was not a couple nights ago.
Yep.
So we move on.
I think they were just giving away ice cream or something. And he's like, I want one, please. Can I have one?
We had both arms up, so he wanted two.
That's about the right time of game, actually. That might be a perfect call down there in the nice seats. Somehow he got down there. That's the biggest question. How did he get down in those seats?
Now, we talked about it yesterday. Our good friends at Fox Sports San Diego were able to let him stay there temporarily. You don't want Blooper anywhere too classy for too long.
It was just a few innings.
Just a few, yeah. Anything more than that, and the milk spoils.
That's when he started double dipping down there. And
yeah, get this guy out of here. Yep. All right, let's talk about some of the roster moves for the Padres. Last night, James Loney, who had been released from the Tampa Bay Rays before opening day, tweeted out from his account saying, I'm ready for the next chapter in my life and excited to be part of the Padres organization. I can't wait to play my first game this year. I'm not sure the Padres have actually made the official announcement themselves yet, but when James Loney is saying it, let's go with it. Initial thoughts, this is a 32-year-old, essentially backup first baseman, won't be reporting to the major league team right away if that does come through, but initial take, anything?
Tampa Bay ran out of room for him, the writing was on the wall, and they picked up some guys in the offseason, including Logan Morrison, that they were going to go in a different direction, try to get some more power out of that position. He had a big drop off in his power numbers last year, still hit .280 on the batting average, but only four home runs, so he's not going to be a huge offensive threat, but he's a solid defensive first baseman, and I think if you're the Padres, you're looking at it either as a platoon situation possibly for Will Myers, or if in the back of their mind they're thinking maybe Will Myers goes back to the outfield if there's moves or it just doesn't play out at first base, you've got a nice alternative to put in behind him.
Yeah, I think this is a no-risk proposition. You sign the guy to a minor league deal. One, they have really no first baseman in AAA right now, so that fills a need for them. I think Ryan Schimpf started at first base in their first game, and that's a middle infielder right there. So they needed a little depth there. But, he's got some history. You know, he's been good. He's been bad as a defensive first baseman, so he's got some ability there. I would like to see Will Myers kind of get one place and stay there, whether it's first base or the outfield. I think people have this perception that he's not a good defender, and the numbers are there, but I think he hasn't had a big league career long enough at one position to get comfortable in one place. I think he could be a good outfielder. He's a very good athlete. I think he could be a very good first baseman. I don't really want to see him bouncing around. If James Loney is the answer, then let him play left field most of the season. Will Myers is the future as of right now. And you got to get him in a position and get him comfortable.
That's
there.
Why, to me, this move, it is low risk, but this move makes very little sense to me. If you're bringing him on just for AAA depth, what does that do for a roster? But to me, it's Will Myers needs to stay somewhere, like you say, long term. And I think that's first base. They already have their outfield kind of established. They want to give guys like Jabari Blash or eventually Manny Margot or Travis Jankowski those kind of spots. If you're putting Will Myers back out there and you already have Brett Wallace backing him up, I'm not sure this move makes a lot of sense for the big league club unless there are some other moves that we haven't seen yet to be made.
Yeah, I don't move him out there unless there's a gap that's filled, that's created by a trade that you've made and things aren't working out at first base and you think, okay, well, let's put him out there in the outfield. And you know, so. But I agree with both of you guys in terms of he needs to pick a position and go with it. And what's so deceiving about him is when you watch him during batting practice, he is so,
Will Myers, this is.
Will Myers, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, to clarify, he is so athletic. He has so much fun out there. He can play third. He can play short, second base, first. I mean, no matter where you put him, he can make some exciting, fun plays as he's just, you know, clowning around out there during batting practice. But that's a whole different thing than mastering a position. And the Royals went through the same thing. The Rays went through the same thing, moving him around. And hopefully first base can be the place where he establishes himself, because the bottom line is the guy can hit. He needs to get an opportunity to do that. But when you're spending a lot of time also thinking about what position am I going to play today, so hopefully first base can work out. But let's not kid ourselves. Everybody thinks first base is the easy place. You put a guy that's a defensive challenge. First base is tough. Not an easy position to play.
He needs those reps to get comfortable with the footwork. The footwork is everything at first base. I think, you know, he can catch the ball. He's going to learn to pick the ball pretty quick, but he needs those reps and to get comfortable moving his feet in the right position, getting to the bag. And he needs to be there over and over again. And we've seen defenders get better throughout their career. Tony Gwynn's a great example. He didn't feel like he was a good defender. He made himself into a Gold Glove caliber outfielder. You can do that with the work. Now, Will's a hardworking guy. He plays around a lot, but he plays baseball constantly. You see him out there.
Oh, he loves the game, yeah.
He loves the game. Yep. I love his attitude. He's like a kid out there, and he just wants to feel ground balls constantly, and that's only going to make you better. Now, give him one position to focus on, and I think he could be very good at that position.
It's a quizzical move for me, the Loney thing, because even behind Will Myers, you have Brett Wallace, who Andy Green has said has to get some regular at-bats too to keep himself sharp as a backup first baseman. So I think there's got to be another move coming, because you can't have three first basemen. And I agree, Will Myers, I don't think you put him back in the outfield. So in my mind, if I'm running this team, now you have three potential first basemen on the big league roster.
But only one of them is a good defensive first baseman, James Loney.
Right, but his bat is nothing compared to what Will Myers can give. And I think
agreed, but as far as like Mike
and zero,
is paying him $8 million. You can bring him on.
That's the good news. Tampa is covering almost all of his salary.
Right.
Yeah. More good news. He is a veteran presence. He and Will Myers were teacher students when they first came up together in Tampa. He doesn't strike out, so he's someone that can bring some good plate presence. So those are good things. But then the bad news: the defense has even declined a bit. I know, Mike, you're a lot into advanced metrics, and his UZR has been dipping the last couple of years. So maybe he still has something to teach, but maybe not show. I just think it is low risk, but I don't see – it's not very high ceiling either.
He's twice as good as anybody else you have over there defensively at first base. It costs you nothing to have him there. He's not taking playing time away from anybody else. I don't see any harm in having him on board.
Yeah, and I just think we're jumping a step here. He's not on the big league team yet.
Right.
I mean – who knows? If
Mike Grace with the
will.
Perspective.
No, I mean,
I haven't even been thinking about Major League roster at all. Just having him on your AAA team as the backup guy, there's no harm in having him. He's not taking playing time away from anybody. Like you said, he's not blocking some prospect somewhere.
All right, so worth a flyer, but at least me personally, I'm not expecting a big dividend down the road from this move in particular. Robbie Erlin, who was in the contention for one of those number four or five starting rotation spots in spring training, started the year in AAA El Paso, was going to make a start for them, did not, because now he is back on the big league roster. Matt Thornton, the reliever, going on the DL, retroactive to April 4th with Achilles tendonitis. Robbie Erlin, scan, what role will he fill in his time up with the big league club?
Innings,
now?
This is perfect timing. You need somebody that can give you some innings, especially when you're at Coors.
Going to Colorado.
You see this all the time, and oftentimes organizations will actually put a guy on the DL that probably could still pitch, but something's been nagging. Hey, you know what? We're heading into Colorado. Good time. We can retroactive you know, put it on there. They need innings out of Robbie Erlin right now, and he can provide that. And had a nice spring training. I mean, he was really in the hunt for that last pitching spot with Colin Ray. Ray obviously got the nod, but Erlin was in there. Good to see Robbie up there, and hopefully he can provide a little bit of more depth out of that bullpen if they need him.
Yeah, I think Scan can speak more to this, but I think this is Robbie's destiny as a big league pitcher. He's kind of a number five starter swing guy. He can go out and give you six shutout innings every once in a while. He's going to go out and have some bad starts. He can go give you some innings out of the bullpen. I think when you're carrying a Rule 5 guy like Luis Perdomo, who's already struggled at this level, he's not quite ready, but you want to keep that arm in the organization. You need a veteran guy like Robbie to give you some innings on a blowout, hopefully on the good side or possibly on the bad side. So I'm glad for him that he's back on the big league roster. I'm glad the direction they went with the rotation, because the two guys that won the spots have a better chance of being impact starters. And that's what you need to find in a season like this. You need to find guys that could have more of an impact than a number five starter.
What's going to be interesting talking about that, that number five spot is, how are they going to use the innings that Colin Ray actually has available to him this year? And he's not going to be able to pitch an entire season.
Yep,
we all know that. It was one of the reasons I thought they might start him off in AAA simply to try to preserve some of those innings and have him finish off the season with the club. But I think he'll be the guy that, you know, skips a start once in a while. Anytime there's an off day, give an opportunity, not because he's not performing, but just because you don't want to have that dramatic uptick in his innings here early on. So we'll see how it all plays out.
See, I thought Erlin was the early front runner for that five, if you were asking me. His numbers were good in spring training. Three runs over 12 innings, 9-2 Ks to walks. And I thought Pomeranz maybe would be the guy that, once Ray started getting bridled in a little bit, maybe you ease him into more of a long relief role. But Andy Green, who's much more equipped to be a major league manager than me, kind of flip-flopped it. But we'll see where Robbie fits in now. So let us know what you think about those moves using hashtag PadresSH. Already, James, our buddy James over at East Village Times says doesn't get the Loney move because Will Myers is the future, which I think is kind of our consensus. It's something that, you know, this isn't a roster or a franchise-changing move.
Nobody's presenting it as such. Yeah. It's a nice backup.
I mean, nobody
have.
Freaked out when they signed Mike Alt.
Yeah.
You know, right. I mean, it's kind of a similar situation.
When you lose three straight games and don't score any runs, you start freaking out about a lot more stuff.
That's
though,
fair.
Which, yeah,
that's
it's possible.
Fair.
Also, Cranky Ed on Twitter letting us know that it was Blooper's actions of moving his arms that caused enough turbulence to keep Jabari Blash's hit in the park the other night.
You're costing the ball club
play,
over
hashtag
there.
Blame Blooper.
Wow.
Brutal.
When we come back, we're going to take some of your Twitter questions. But fans, don't forget that Party in the Park, presented by Southwest Airlines, is back this season. It's a pregame happy hour series every Friday home game at Petco Park. Next up is Party in the Park on April 15th before the Padres take on the D-backs at 7:40 p.m. Tickets at padres.com/party. When we come back, we are going to take some of your questions as we get ready for Padres at Rockies. We're back after this on Padres Social Hour.
You want to talk Padres? Lucky for you, we're doing exactly that. This is Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio inside Petco Park.
We are inside Petco Park on Padres Social Hour at the AMR Studios, but the Padres just left the field, taking BP at Coors Field, as they get set to take on the Colorado Rockies at 1:10 p.m., and we have a shot there at Coors Field. Looks lovely. The Padres, we swear, we're taking BP during the commercial break, and thank you, Randy Wesley, for hooking that shot up for us, helping us out from the Rocky Mountains.
No, speaking of hooking people up, you hooked us up with some donuts today. I got to thank you for that again, Mike. And
I was going to eat this one, but you took it off my hands.
Well, and I stopped eating. You know why I stopped eating it?
Why?
I had a flashback of some Padre tradition, Padre lore. Trevor Hoffman, Mike, you know about this.
Yeah.
Back in the day when they'd bring donuts into the clubhouse, Trevor would come by and he'd take a bite out of every single donut. It had the Trevor Hoffman signature on it, having a bite taken out, right?
Absolutely.
And so the guys got onto that, and he said, okay, stop taking bites, and he started licking the tops of them. So now nobody touches any donuts that ever enter the Padres clubhouse. So
nice.
I'm halfway through this, I'm thinking, gosh, I hope Trevor's not around here.
It's possible.
In trouble.
To have a legacy, you know?
Exactly.
Just don't get used to this, because I won't be bringing in food every single day. This won't be, you know,
then we will.
Thing.
That's a good tradition.
Stop,
I think we've got to keep that going.
Doing it.
We'll make Blooper do it. I mean, come on.
he's already stopping Jabari Blash home runs. He's helping facilitate cameras in other major league stadiums.
Bring in more food
for us. Maybe add food.
I'm off the donuts.
Yeah, Blooper's in in-season diet mode. So
he's looking good.
Yeah, he is. He's looking great. We have Blooper Cam for those that are watching.
Yeah,
if not, there you go.
Hey, yeah. Took a while.
And for those of you that are just listening, of course, just make sure to check us out online later. All right, guys, let's get to some of the Twitter questions. And a reminder, join the conversation. Use hashtag PadresSH. And also, you can chat live at Padres.com/social hour. First, we're going to hear from old ghost of Ray Kroc, who doesn't have a question. He just says, finally, we get Hayes Gannon his glorious hair back on TV.
Oh, yeah. I got the wig. It's still there.
What's the secret? It's so
voluminous. Just a good wig, man. You just got to put it on and, yeah.
And just hope for no wind during the day.
Spray it in place,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's all good.
All right, let's get to
Thanks,
some,
Ghost. Appreciate that, man. Good to be back.
Some actual questions here. Padres Geekster asking, Coors Field should bode well for the guys, right? You would assume so. Which player do you predict will bust the scoring slump today and knock one in? Prediction time, boys.
Well, I was so good with my last prediction of Andrew Cashner driving in the last one. Cash almost didn't make it through the game long enough to get in
to get
bat.
In
I was getting
bat,
worried
now.
There for a minute. But let's see. I'm going to go with John Jay.
Lead off homer, maybe?
He's going to bust it out on the very first at-bat. Absolutely. He's going to get a fastball up and out over, and he's going to drive it. And Padres on the board, 1-0.
All right.
Wow, okay.
I like Mr. Cycle, Matt Kemp. He's got great numbers there.
He does,
and,
yeah.
You know, he's going to feel the glory of that triple off the wall in right center field, and it's just going to snowball into something fantastic today. I can feel it. He's going to ruin their home opener. And we're going to get some runs on the board.
Mike, who you got?
I'm ride or die with my buddy Will Myers. He was my prediction the other night.
Okay.
And it would have been him if that replay had been overturned, because that was his bouncer to first, right? That had Spanish.
Nothing like an RBI in. Fielder's choice.
Oh, anything to get them on the board. And
picky.
I had called it. It was that inning, too, right? Wasn't it the fourth inning? I think I had called it.
Is that your inning?
I think so, yeah. So I was this close to actually looking like I knew what I'm talking about.
So you're really mad at the guys
so
in New York.
Very mad at the guys in New York. So I say Will Myers today. We're not going to make an inning prediction, because as long as the runs come in at some point, I think that's all the Padres are hoping for. Next question. Oh, okay. Maybe we will go to some innings, because Juan Largo is asking, how many innings into the game will the Padres score? I can't take another shutout. I don't think you're alone in that sentiment, Juan. Pick an inning. I'm going to go early. I'm going to say, I think, first inning.
Yeah, I got to go with my pick, right? I got John Jay going early, so first inning for me.
Second inning.
Okay.
Lead off. Home run.
So they're going to go down 1-2-3
in the first. 1-2-3 in the first, which will knock both of us out
of
contention early.
Oh, wait, no, never mind. I can't even. Yeah. I just messed up my prediction. So I'm still going to say the second inning, though.
Okay. We'll get to the lineup in a little bit, and we'll see if that actually is feasibly possible.
Yeah, I don't think
so. Because the other night, Scan said Andrew Cashner is going to drive in Jabari Blash.
No,
it was the other way. You said Jabari Blash.
No, I had Cash getting an infield single, stealing second base, somebody moving him over, and then My guest, who was
right,
next
it was Brady Phelps said
Brady
that.
Blind,
yeah,
Jabari
he said Jabari was driving
Blash
Cashner.
Drive
they were
like,
batting 8-9,
yeah,
which would have
been,
I think, logistically impossible. So, all right, let's move on. Jellyman with a question. Panic setting in. Can't believe the peeps wanting to change lineup after three games. Angry emoji. Calm down. Wondering emoji. Is it too early to start maybe tinkering with the lineup, moving guys around, trying something new?
In general, I'm a proponent of leaving guys in a spot in the lineup, and I understand in recent years Buddy Black took a lot of heat for making all the changes that he did in his lineup, but I will say, in defense of Buddy, even though it wasn't my philosophy, I know it wasn't Buddy's preference either. He did it out of a sense of necessity of having to move guys around to try to generate some offense that was pretty stagnant most of the year. So I think in general, by choice, managers would rather have guys set, and we'll see what happens, but I don't get a sense that there's a panic mode because, quite frankly, I don't think that there's a bunch of guys that I look at and say, they're completely out of position in this lineup at this point.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with moving guys around the lineup. I don't think hitters have a different approach depending on where they are in the lineup. I don't think there's a leadoff hitter anymore. There's not a two-hitter anymore. There's no classic Tony Gwynn two-hitter anymore. Guys have the same approach no matter where they are in the lineup. So I do want to see the same guys getting regular at-bats, and then if they're not producing, then you start talking about maybe Jabari Blash starts more in left field if Melvin isn't picking it up with a bat. I think your guys, your Norris, your Kemp, your Myers, those guys are going to play for a while, and they're going to have to figure it out or they're not. And if they don't, then this club's going to be in a lot of trouble. But history says they will figure it out. And, you know, like I said, I just really think where they are in the lineup is overblown in today's baseball.
For me, it's a flat no. Keep them where they are now. At least let them get used to it. I guess, like you say, a couple weeks, if things just aren't happening, then maybe you do a little flipperoo or something.
Yeah.
But for now, let it ride.
Yeah, and we'll agree to disagree because I think that the lineup is making a comeback. I think there was a decade of baseball, a decade and a half, that I actually pitched in where guys were using some extra stuff to make them bigger, where you did lose a lot of the leadoff men and number two guys. Just, hey, go up there and slug. Everybody just hit it as far and as hard as you can. And I think that we're starting to get back a little bit to having some more traditional leadoff men. And I'm hoping that we're seeing that transition.
I would love to see it. I haven't seen a two-strike approach by anybody in it feels like years. I mean, you don't see anybody not literally choking up on the bat, but taking a two-strike approach to put the ball in play. Guys swing as hard as they can, whether they're 0-2 or 3-2. And it's just it's the analytics of the game. It says that slugging percentage is more important than putting the ball in play.
Which – there's a whole nother debate for a whole nother show.
I'd like
Which
to.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I love moving runners and doing everything.
With regards to the two-strike approach, I don't disagree with you. Guys don't shorten up and try to put the ball in play like they used to. You don't see the Brett Butler type guys anymore.
Nope.
Like,
he would struggle.
Totally agree with you.
And those kinds of guys aren't getting paid really these days either. So where's the incentive to do that? But roster construction is getting a little bit more of a look, and you're seeing now even lineup construction. Joe Maddon batting pitchers eighth, that kind of stuff. Maybe there is a new type of lineup structure that we don't even know about yet, that it's not even sluggers anymore or the old, you know, two-hole hitters. Maybe the future of baseball is coming our way. We just don't even know what it is yet.
I mean, if it was me, I would figure out who your best hitter is and lead him off. Get him the most at-bats.
Regardless of what type of
Will Myers,
hitter they are.
I would probably lead him off. If he's your best hitter, get him the most at-bats possible.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who believe that. Actually, the new trend, I think, is to put your best guy in the number two spot is what I'm seeing. A lot of the analytics are coming up and saying put him in the two spot. I think it's still a work to be figured out. But certainly some of the old school philosophies are being challenged, and I think that's a good thing. I think there's people out there that feel like – and I've gotten into debates with some of the analytics types on through the Facebook and other social media, and they think that I'm anti-numbers. That's not the case at all. I love that. I love that we're taking a different look at a lot of this stuff and getting out of some of the dogma. But I think there's also – a time and a place to use it and how it's applied. And I think that's where I personally get into some of the debates on some of those topics.
It's the beauty of baseball, man.
Yeah,
it's so fun to talk about.
Exactly.
That's why we're here every day.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk about the lineup today for the Padres when we come back. That's what we call a tease here in the business. But first, for the first time ever, the Padres are hosting a series of week-long summer baseball camps across San Diego County for boys and girls ages 5 through 12. To learn more or to register your future all-star, visit padres.com/playball. We're back after this, taking a look at today's game between the Padres and Rockies right here on Padres Social Hour.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
We're getting you ready for Padres at Rockies today out in Coors Field. Back here in the AMR studio on Padres Social Hour. Joining me, Mike Grace, Bob Scanlon, I'm Mike Janella, and guys, we have some folks watching on this Friday. It's now afternoon. We started this in the morning. We just mentioned him. I guess it's like Voldemort. You say him and you just summon him. Brady Phelps tweeting that the Padres SH crew looking good from the La Jolla Brewing.
Working hard on a Friday, apparently.
I guess so. All right, five o'clock somewhere, Brady, huh?
Brady's the man.
That a kid, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, that was my debut appearance on the show last time.
We had fun.
He helped usher it in. So,
and I will
thanks,
say,
Brady. Appreciate it, man. Great job.
We're much more tolerable as a group, I guess, when you're at a brewery, when you have some
have
some,
a libation in you. Absolutely.
A little libation to help the show go down a little bit easier. All right, let's talk about the game today. Padres looking for their first run, their first win, and they hit the road to do it. Let's take a look at the lineup that will try and do just that. Brought to you by United. So we've got John Jay playing center field and leading off, then Corey Spangenberg second and second. Matt Kemp in right field, so he cannot both score the first run today and do it in the second inning, as Mike Grace incorrectly predicted. Will Myers playing first base and hitting cleanup. Then it's Solarte at third, Norris at catcher. Alexi Ramirez playing short, Melvin Upton Jr. back and left hitting eighth, and Colin Ray gets the nod on the bump. How's that lineup look to you today, Scan?
Looks like a winner to me. I mean, basically what you and I agreed upon, Mike, right? No major changes right there. The only thing that I would maybe at some point think about, maybe Corey Spangenberg could be your leadoff guy. I like what he does. I like the fact that he can bunt, he can run, he can make some things happen. I have no problem with him being in the number two spot. But that would be one thing that I think Andy at some point might play with. But for the most part, hey, I think you stick with what you got and you try to get those guys going. Again, I don't see anything majorly out of place with that lineup. I don't know about you, Mike.
No, the lineup looks good. I mean, I think you have to wait to make some real assessments, especially after a disastrous homestand like that. Don't make any real judgments off of that because, one, there's nothing really you can do. Nobody really stood out. I mean, Solarte had a hit and a walk, so maybe he's getting on base more than anybody else.
The Babe Ruth swung the bat a little bit better in that last game.
He really did. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, give Jay and Kemp and Jay and Spangenberg an opportunity to see who's going to get on base. Jay has a good history of being an on-base guy, so you want to give him that chance. Spangenberg can grow into that. We've seen that with his minor league numbers. Maybe he will be more of an on-base guy, and maybe one of those guys really does define themselves as the leadoff hitter for this team.
Yeah, we'll see.
Now here's a question for you, because everything I've been reading and hearing from the guys, Coors Field is what we need. It's going to be great to get into a hitter's environment. That'll unlock the bats. Andy Green talking about how there's this collective pressing. Is maybe the fact that they're at Coors Field a little bit of a maybe reverse placebo effect in play? Because if they go 2-3 innings without scoring, do you start thinking, man, if we can't score even here, are you putting more pressure on yourself? Because I feel like that's a dangerous game to think that Coors is the cure-all when a couple struggles, if they don't put up a few early runs, does that really exacerbate stuff?
You know, for me, Coors Field, I'm going to take my chances. give me that opportunity, you know, and especially against Jordan Lyles, a guy who has not had a great earned run average over the course of his career. He throws a lot of balls that move and cut. If you can wait him out, force him to throw some strikes early in the count and then get to him, I think this is a guy that you can score runs off of. And, I mean, to your point, look, if you don't score under any circumstances, you're going to have that issue, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping we're not having this conversation 3 days from now. They went to Coors Field, right, and they still haven't scored.
It just surprised me how much people were talking about and admitting that this is something they're looking forward to help the offense get going.
Well, it's no secret. I mean, it is a tough place to pitch. It's not anybody's imagination that the ball flies more there. As a pitcher, it's tough to grip the ball. It's tough to manipulate it the way you want to. And things happen over there. I mean, the whole thing of guys playing deeper to cover the fences and all, and the bloopers fall in. Now you make one mistake, and it's a three-run home run instead of a one-run shot. So it's not a fantasy. That's a good place to get yourself healthy.
And then they go to another hitter's park in Philadelphia. So, I mean, if they can't get right on this road trip in general, whether it's scoring three runs a game or more or less, I mean, this is where they need to figure it out. And you don't want to – that's the biggest thing. They've got to not dig a hole. This team has dug a hole the last several years, and they just haven't been able to get out of it. If you want to – I'm not saying the team's going to compete for the division or anything, but just be competitive. And you've got to hover around 500 until you find your identity as a team, as an offense, as a pitching staff, and just start figuring it out. Give yourselves a chance. Give the fans a chance for this to be a fun season.
You know, and Mike, to that point, I thought that was going to be a lot different this year because of the stability. We had so many new faces last year. Now, I know there's a lot of new faces this year on the roster, but at the same time, 7 of the 9 guys on your field at this point were with the team last year. You know, Norris, Will Myers, Spangenberg, Solarte. Your shortstop is new. Your left fielder is new. Everybody else has pretty much been here. They should be established. They should be comfortable. There's no question about the leadership, who your manager in the clubhouse is. I thought this was going to be a year where they could actually get off to a better start.
Hey, they're going to be wearing a uniform that they've worn before. So maybe that's going to bring together.
It's all about the,
Mike Grace blames new uniforms for Padres struggles.
That's the thing. You got
the
new Browns. You got the new DigiCams. Is that what the issue is?
They just didn't feel comfortable in their threads yet. This is a uniform they've worn before as a team. It's going to be a cohesive thing today. I
wonder
feel
what
it.
These sabermetricians think of that, the uniforms.
It
the
goes
struggles.
Right along with momentum.
Momentum, uniforms, you just chemistry.
You just got 10,000 tweets, bring back the Browns.
Yeah, no doubt. Wait and see. New at Coors Field this year, they've added some fencing, which may affect things a little bit. Dennis Lynn, who's there with the UT, so they added 2 new fences. The big one is the right center field fence. So they had that out-of-town scoreboard that extended from the right field foul pole to right center. Now the fencing is going to extend all the way to the batter's eye in center field. They also have a small extended fence in left field by the foul pole. So it takes – the left field wall goes up 5 feet to a total of 13 feet, and the right field wall goes up 8 feet 9 inches to make that a 16-foot 6-inch fence. And as we have our live look at it, and you can check it out during the game later, you might notice that fence that's up there. Now, the Rockies say that it could reduce home runs about 5 to 6% from those that they saw had gone over in those dimensions last year. That would be about 10 to 12 home runs a year based on what happened last year. As a pitcher, does that affect you at all, your mentality?
Or they couldn't have done this 20 years ago when I was pitching? Really? You guys couldn't help me out a little bit?
Is 9 extra feet that big of a difference?
Hey, every foot helps, especially if you're the guy that gives up the home run that barely makes it over, right? I mean, is this going to make a big difference in how that ballpark plays? Absolutely not. But it is interesting that they are so sophisticated now in terms of tracking the ball and seeing where it lands that they can do a pretty good job of predicting, look, if things go as last year, this is how many runs that we're probably going to save. for me, it doesn't matter because it doesn't guarantee that it's going to help your ball club. It doesn't mean that it's going to help the hometown team. And in this ballpark, it's going to be a little drop in the bucket in terms of the number of runs that cross.
I get what they're trying to do, but as a fan, I like lower fences. I love the defensive robbed home run. I don't want to take any chances.
Not robbing a home run on a 16-foot,
exactly.
6-inch fence.
It takes away a fun aspect of the game. It's not going to slow down. Their doubles or triples now instead of home runs.
There's still going to be balls in play.
Former hitter in Little League, obviously.
Who peaked at ninth grade, as we learned. Yeah. I'll be back after this, but don't forget, fans, Major League Baseball All-Star Week is coming to San Diego. Get in on the action July 8th to the 12th. By visiting All-Star Fan Fest, the world's largest interactive baseball theme park. Tickets and more information at allstargame.com. We're back with more from the AMR studio. This is Padres Social Hour.
We're talking Padres all season long. This is Padres Social Hour, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the team store.
We're here in San Diego as the Padres are in Denver, Colorado, getting ready to take on the Colorado Rockies and looking for that elusive first win of the season. Moving things along here, and I had a question come in using the hashtag PadresSH during the break from San Diego Fathers. It was at me, but it was actually Mike Grace who said this. He said, as you said, the Padres were hitting well in Mexico City. Maybe returning to the high altitude will spark the bats. Maybe a little psychological there, like, hey, we hit well a mile above sea level a few weeks ago.
Sure, absolutely. Anything, I think baseball is so much mindset, and you can speak way more to this, but like to have a confidence in your mindset at the plate or on the mound, it makes a difference, right?
No question. I mean, they should be serving tacos and telling guys don't drink the water in Colorado, and they're locked in. They're good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Scan solves all.
Played.
The big story out of Colorado so far, Trevor Story, the shortstop who's making history. He's been the first Major League Baseball player to home run in his first three games of his career. He's had four home runs total. The only hits he has this season.
Yeah, we're talking about a 285 hitter
home runs.
Here.
The only hits slugging though. Woo, through the roof. He sent media members, going off the chain with their puns. I've not gotten sick of them yet.
You think there's a story there, Mike?
I think there's a story. This is a storybook beginning. What's the story with how you stop them? It just goes on and on. Have you seen any good one? Any good puns, Mike, that you have really caught
your
eye
pun?
On this?
No, I really haven't seen any good puns. But, man, it's impressive. I mean, four hits, four home runs. It's the craziest stat line ever, 286, 286, 1,100.
Right?
you don't see that regularly, even through three games. But, good for him. I mean, God, they go from one amazing shortstop to another in Colorado. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. It's not really Tulowitzki who yet, but, I mean, if this kid – he won't keep it up all season long, but this
he's
is
got,
a good
he's got
start.
The pedigree.
He does. This adds only another lethal bat potentially to a lineup that will be giving the Padres fits. You have Cargo, who's healthy to start a year. Arenado's there. DJ LeMahieu getting off to a great start, too. The Padres, for a staff that just gave up 25 runs, the offense is excited to get to Coors, but the pitching, right, Scan, has got to be a little bit trepidatious about facing a lineup like this.
Yeah, but I like Colin Ray. I like the way he goes after guys. And one of the strengths this young man has is that he keeps everything down in the zone. Everything has that nice downward tilt to it. So I don't think he's a young man that should be intimidated by this ballpark. He's not a guy that relies on a big, slow breaking ball either. He's, fastball slider. He should be fine. And Story, hey. Challenge him in, see if he can get around the fastball first.
And you're writing something, I think, before the game on how this series might play out in this game. So check that out at FryerWire, which is our Padres blog. Just Google FryerWire, and you'll get right to there, and you'll see a scan with some more in-depth analysis on how Colin Ray can take on those Rockies today. For us, though, we come back, and we are going to wrap things up from the AMR studio, getting you ready for that game. We'll be back right after this on Padres Social Hour.
Get ready for every Padres game with us. Coming to you from inside the team store at Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
110, that's when the Padres and Colin Ray will look to get their first win of the season at the Colorado Rockies. And Coors Field starting to fill up for its home opening day as we are here at Petco Park in the AMR studio. And we've talked about everything we can about the baseball and about the games. Now we're going to put old Scan here in the Cholula hot seat because we're talking again about his socks or today, now lack
thereof. What's wrong with this? This is trending.
Juan Largo.
Ankle high dress socks.
Juan Largo over the break tweeting
this is
in.
The look.
He says, "Hey, Scan is too great of a TV personality." Whoa, let's not go crazy here. too great of a TV personality not to have hashtag sock game on Padres Social Hour. He says he will buy and donate socks from the gift shop if it happens again. Scan, the hot seat, why are you not? I mean, Mike Grace brought his patriotic stance socks.
America.
I try to have my small touches to match the shoes and the shirt.
You guys
What's
are
up
such,
with you,
you
man?
You guys are such conformists. You all got these socks that are going up here, meeting your pants and everything. This is a trend, man. I'm telling you. This is the new easy San Diego look. Look, sometimes you got to dress up, but I'm keeping in the San Diego motif of, making sure that I don't have the tan line up around my calves, all right?
So we're conforming by being actually normal, fashion-forward thinking.
Conformists.
Uncapped real flavor with Cholula hot sauce, the hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap, and the official hot sauce of the San Diego Padres. Mike, Bob, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, it was always fun.
And we'll see if the Padres can score some runs today. We'll catch you tomorrow at 3:30 with RJ and Derek Togerson on Padres Social Hour. See ya!